I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we would love to get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we'll get into a couple of things here yet tonight as well in addition. But let's start with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray you bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to be an encouragement to people this evening, help us to point people to Christ, and we just pray that that you would just use us for your glory. We just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. It's good to be with you tonight, and here in northeastern Ohio, very pleasant out right now, and we had some rain showers come through different spots earlier today, heard a little thunder earlier, but didn't really get into too much ourselves, but it's been a very comfortable day. It got kind of warm, but it was a nice evening coming up to the studio here tonight and got out, skies overcast. The moon was kind of just a faint dot in the sky, but by the time we got up here to the studio, it had cleared up a little bit and you could see the moon out there. And God, what is it, about a half moon, I think, right now, or getting close to half moon. And we were trying to figure out, I should know this, I think it's Saturn, but Saturn is really close to the moon right now. And we were, of course, that's relatively speaking. We were out last night, and we came in, and the moon was shining pretty clearly, and it was almost like the width of the full moon, like two full moons away from the moon. It was really kind of spectacular looking, and but tonight it's quite a bit further away. But it's kind of nice. You look up and you see some of the things the Lord's created, and it's enjoyable to watch. And I say, you know, close to the moon. That, like I said, that's relative. I mean, it's incredibly far away compared to the Earth, and it just looks that way because of the lack of perspective in the sky. But at any rate, we're going to talk about a few things here tonight. I hope you had a great week this past week, a busy week, and I wanted to mention a couple things from this past week, some of the highlights this past week. It's just been kind of an interesting week. We started off Monday talking, you know, I remember last Sunday night we were talking about Memorial Day and some of the events taking place. And last Sunday, my wife and I went up last Monday morning, my wife and I went up to the center of Richfield where we live, and we saw the Memorial Day parade go by. My nephew is marching in the band, and that's always kind of nice, you know, because walk up to the cemetery, and it's not too far from the center of Richfield where my grandmother and my great-grandparents are buried, and different ones, and it's just nice. I remember going up there when I was a little kid, back when in the 70s, not a little kid, I guess a preteen and a teenager in the 70s, and I remember back when you had the car, the bicycle, if you had a banana seat, if anybody remembers banana seats, you were living if you had a bicycle with a banana seat. I mean, it didn't have any gears. It just had, it had one gear. It was whatever your legs could move. That was the gear. And then you had those coaster brakes. If you remember those, you push back on the coaster brake, and then you had the handlebars that would go up, and the sissy bar in the back, and you were in style with that. And if you really wanted to be something, you could put a card in the spokes so it would sound like a motorbike, you know, when you went. But we would ride up and follow the parade up. I remember doing that when I was a kid. And, you know, back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, I can still remember the World War I veterans marching in the parade, you know. And now, of course, they're all gone. And there's only a handful of the World War II veterans that are there, you know, that you see, and they're not marching in the parade, and the Korean War veterans, and they're really not marching in the parade either, and different ones. And so it was kind of nice, walked up there and some friends we were talking with, and we got up to the cemetery, and it's always kind of nice because they have a section on the one side where they had the veterans come forward, and my uncle, who's a World War II veteran, he flew as a tail gunner over Europe out of Britain during World War World War II veteran, and so saw him and a couple other people, and then they had the program. It was a good program, and then, well, my wife said they'd have been better off having no prayer. I can say this, I guess, because one, I'm a pastor. Two, it's my hometown. Three, I've been going there since I was a kid to these things. So I think I have the right to be able to express myself. She said it would have been better if they had no prayer. They had the chaplain from, I think it was a local AMVETS post or something. And she had this line where she prays. She was talking about peace and needing peace and all that. And she implored all the gods of all the faiths of all the people. And I thought, good grief. And a friend of mine hollered out, "There's only one God." Later on, he said, I couldn't restrain myself. I said, somebody had to say something. And I thought, we were doing pretty good up till that point. All the gods of all the faiths of all the people. And then, certainly was no danger of her ending the prayer in Jesus' name there, that's for sure. The best one, I guess, compared to that was some years ago, there was an interim pastor at another church in town, and she prayed to Mother God during the prayer. So you see these things in the setting, and of course, that's not the time, to go up and address them and rebuke them in front of the crowd there. But I always found it interesting that I've never been asked to give any of the prayers at any of these services, even though in 2 months I'll have been pastoring in my hometown for about 20 years. I guess they don't want to run the risk of somebody praying in Jesus' name. My one uncle got me on the committee for the Veterans Memorial dedication some years ago, and a number of people tried to keep me off from the platform, tried to keep me from praying, but my uncle, the World War II veteran, argued in my favor. He wanted me on there, and I thought it was fair. I mean, I was the only clergy member, to my knowledge, I still am, the only clergy member in Richfield who is, one, a Richfield native, two, is a veteran, and three, has a brick in the Veterans Memorial in Richfield. And yet they tried to keep me off from the platform, and I don't think they were happy because I closed my prayer that time in Jesus' name. I had a couple people compliment me for it, but there are a couple people I don't think were too pleased with that. So that might have something to do with why I never get asked to lead a prayer at any of these types of events in Richfield. They don't want somebody saying in Jesus' name. That tends to be offensive to some people for some reason. Well, I don't know. I found that imploring all the gods of all the faiths of all the people to be quite offensive myself. But hey, it's a free country. She had the freedom to say that. I served in the military to help protect her freedom to say something that I disagreed with. I had relatives buried in that cemetery who gave their lives trying to protect her freedom to say things that we might disagree with. And there's this thing that seems to be in society right now. Jesus said, therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And we have this thing in society today, it seems like, that when you say things that people don't agree with, if they cannot counter you with logic and reason, they want to shut you down. And there's a number of examples that you can cite with that. For instance, I have a biology degree. I've studied biology at Colorado State University, and so I've studied evolution quite in depth. And yet there's a lot of people who want it to be illegal to say anything contradictory to evolutionary theory and in support of biblical creation. Rather than argue the facts or lack thereof, rather than use logic and reason, they simply want to shut you down and make it illegal to say such a thing. There's some woman on the Weather Channel, I believe it is, who was contending that if you don't believe in man-made global warming, it should be against the law. And if you're a meteorologist, you should have your license revoked. Well, all I know is that President Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accord, whatever the name of that treaty was. And let me tell you, the next 2 days were some of the warmest days we've had this spring. Wow, that happened fast, didn't it? But, you know, this idea that even though I think it's the Barents Sea has more ice in it right now than it did a year ago at this time, even though in the 1930s we had some of the warmest temperatures on record for this time of year, you're not allowed to bring that stuff up. They want it to be illegal. Don't give us these inconvenient truths. If you want to see something really humorous in sense of irony, I guess, Google Leonard Nimoy and coming ice age. That's all you need. Just enter that in Google in your search engine there. Leonard Nimoy, coming ice age. And Leonard Nimoy, most people remember him as Spock in the Star Trek series and movies. But Leonard Nimoy hosted a series back in the 70s called, I believe it was called In Search Of. And in 1977, I think is the year that it was broadcast, he hosted one In Search of the Coming Ice Age. And there's at least three scientists on that program who were assuring us that the climate is getting colder and the world is entering a global period, then it may be too late to stop it, but we need to raise taxes, cut the use of fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if any of that sounds familiar, in order to try to stave off the coming ice age that's going to bury New York City under a mile of ice. And it may be too late to stop it. I think they were even on Baffin Island saying the indication of this shows that it may be too late to stop it, but we need to act now because we don't have much time left. Well, we were going through a cyclical time, and then as we came out of that more of a cooling period there in the 70s into a little bit of more of a warming period into the 80s and 90s and all that, obviously the ice age didn't came, and these three scientists that are featured on Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of in the 1970s saying the ice age is coming and it may be too late to stop it, these same scientists, you can go online and find them, and you can read their papers that they are publishing today saying, global warming is upon us. It may be too late to stop it. And unless we cut back on our use of fossil fuels and raise taxes, we're not going to stave off disaster. And it may be too late, but we've got to do it right now. If you point out the inconvenient truth that these three men, in the 1970s were saying the same thing, only it was the ice age coming and it was going to destroy life as we know it, they want that to be illegal. You're not allowed to say anything against global warming. Well, the remarkable thing is, and I tie this back in what I was talking about the the thing with the Memorial Day services, and we got this movement where in education, for instance, and in government, they don't want people praying in Jesus' name. They don't want you praying in Jesus' name in the military. Don't want you praying at all in the public schools, and they don't want you praying in Jesus' name when people open city council or board meetings or in the House or Senate, either on the state level or federal level, praying in Jesus' name is something they don't want you doing. And rather than argue and try to come up with reason and logic, they just want it outlawed. They just want to ban it. And they're reading an interesting book right now called The Bible and the Blackboard. And it is, if you get a chance to find it sometime, it was put out by the Center for Reclaiming America for Christ. And this is an interesting little book because there's three authors there, Dr. Gary Cass, Sam Kastenschmidt, and Anthony Erte, and they show how education in America started with the churches and the clergy heading up public education in America. And then as we moved into the 1800s, that's in the colonial days, and as we moved into the 1800s, gradually the movement to put it into the hands of the government, and then in the 1900s to take God completely out, Christianity completely out of religion, to where now you have people thinking that it is illegal to have the Ten Commandments on the wall inside of a public school. And it's just incredible. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And wanted to mention, too, of course, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow us on Facebook. You just go in there and look for Live with Pastor Al, and you can like our page there, follow us on Facebook. I try to get a number of, a number of articles there that I find interesting. Sometimes I get a chance to talk about them on the radio. Sometimes I do not. But we try to cover a number of things, and also wanted to point out, in light of what's happening in Britain right now, and certainly we pray for the people in Britain, another thing from this past week, the terror attacks, the latest wave of terror attacks in Great Britain, where there is a van that drove across the Tower Bridge in London. And I've been across that bridge many times myself on foot. When I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England about 60 miles north of London, and I would frequently travel down to London. And it's a very popular tourist area because you have the Tower of London there, and people are walking across the bridge, and you're usually, you know, a pretty good number of people. At least when I was there back in the 80s, there was always a good number of people walking along there, and I imagine it's still pretty busy with foot traffic. And this van plowed into the people that were there, and I believe there's at least seven who are killed. And then a number of men jumped out of the van, and they started knifing people, stabbing people just at random. And, you know, finally, the British police typically are not armed. The average police officer is not. Finally, some of their armed police were able to show up, and I guess some intense gunfire. But this reminds me that this is day 9, or yes, I guess it's now day 10, but as of today, it would be day 9, but going by where Mecca is, it would now be day 10 of Ramadan. And the annual Ramadan bombathon count is underway, and you can find this at thereligionofpeace.com. So far, terror in the name of Islam. As of day 9 of the Ramadan bombathon 2017, terror in the name of Islam, there has been 46 confirmed attacks, a total of 510 people killed just in the first nine days of Ramadan. Number attacks by all other religions combined, zero. Number of kills by all the religions combined here during these 9 days of Ramadan, zero. Number of Muslims killed by Islamophobes or attacked by Islamophobes here so far during Ramadan, zero. Number of Muslims killed by Islamophobes during Ramadan so far, zero. So, kind of put that in perspective. Number of attacks by all religions combined, number of Muslims attacked by Islamophobes, zero. Number of attacks by Muslims in the name of Islam, 45. Number of kills by all other religions combined, zero. Number of Muslims killed by Islamophobes, zero. Number of kills in the name of Islam, 510. That's just in the first 9 days. And, you know, it's, we need to pray for these people, because when I give this number killed, 510 that are killed, these are not all Christians. These are not all Jews. These are not all non-Muslims. Some of them are Muslims. I mean, just as recently, for instance, two Hazara religious minorities were gunned down in Pakistan on the 4th, which would be just Sunday. The two Hazara religious minorities gunned down for their faith during Ramadan. On the 3rd in England, that's when we had the attack on the London Bridge. And then also on the 3rd in Afghanistan, three suicide bombers detonated themselves at a funeral, killing 20 mourners. So many of these, most of these would be Muslim. Also on the 2nd of June in Tunisia, a young shepherd was kidnapped and beheaded by Islamic extremists. Also on the 2nd in Cameroon, there were 11 killed when Islamists strapped bombs, suicide vests, onto two girls and sent them into a refugee camp and then detonated them. On the 1st of June, a father of two was stabbed to death by two Muslims in Germany because he smoked during Ramadan and refused to fast. And, you know, I mention this, and I've mentioned it in years past. I bring this up because this happens every year during Ramadan. That's why we call it the Ramadan Bombathon, because this happens every year. We have this upsurge in violence, this upsurge in attacks. And yes, they've been carrying out attacks prior to this, but this is something that is always has an upsurge during Ramadan. This is why we need to pray for people who are ensnared in the false religion of Islam, because in many cases, the Muslims are the number one casualty, the number one victims. There's more Muslims killed by other Muslims during Ramadan than any other group of people. So they're captive to a false religion. They're certainly attacked by others who have a differing variation of that religion. I was talking with somebody recently, and I said, but why would Muslims attack other Muslims? And I said, you have to look at it this way. In Christianity, we have various factions, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that if you're a Baptist, you should kill anybody who doesn't agree with you. There's nothing in the Bible that says if you're a Methodist, you should kill people who don't agree with you, or people that you feel are in disagreement with you. But in the Quran, it's there. It's there. So to put it in a perspective, the Islamic religion is along the lines of, let's say that the Bible told Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Assemblies of God that you need to kill anybody who doesn't believe exactly the way you believe, even though they may call themselves Christians. Well, that's what's happening in Islam, because if you believe that you have the true version of Islam and somebody doesn't share that true version, then they're an infidel. They are a reprobate. They have turned from the true faith, and therefore they're to be killed unless they repent, of course, and turn back to the right path. And then, of course, the non-Muslims, we're infidels, we're pagans, and so we're to be killed as well unless we embrace Islam as well. So these are the things that's actually in there. You know, the hadiths and the verses in the Quran that command killing the unbelievers and striking terror into their hearts. People say, well, why would they kill innocent people? Well, in their mind, they're not innocent. We're not innocent because we live in the house of war. The world is divided into two houses, the house of war and the house of Islam. The house of Islam, Islam means submission, or to submit, and so the house of Islam is the house of those that have submitted, meaning submitted to Allah, submitted to Allah's one true religion in their mind, which is Islam. And the rest of the world is in the house of war, because we're at war with Allah. We have not submitted. And so if you're in the house of war, you are not an innocent. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 2 months old. You're not an innocent. There was a case in the Hadith, I forget the reference, where Muhammad had ordered them to destroy the people in this one village. And somebody said, but what about the children? And he said, they're the children of pagans, meaning kill them as well. They're not innocents. And so back, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, when there was that terror attack in Manchester, England, and people were saying, why would they attack kids? There was a lot of kids in that arena. Why would they attack kids? Well, the object is to sow terror, and those kids, in their mind, were not innocents. And, you know, we need to pray for these people because, one, they're ensnared by a satanic religion. Number two, they're the first victims of that precisely because they're ensnared in that religion. But also they suffer from, killings and things at the hands of other Muslims who disagree with them or believe differently. You know, the two biggest divides being the Sunni and the Shiites. But even within the Sunni and Shiite factions, there's other factions that fight with each other. And if you disagree, you're an apostate. And according to that, in the Quran, you need to be destroyed if you won't repent. Well, talked a little bit about some of these negative things right now, but there is hope in Christ. There are Muslims coming to Christ in extreme large numbers across the Muslim world. We need to pray for them that God would continue to reach them, as there is hope and deliverance in Christ. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888 877-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. Just a reminder, brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and I invite you to visit if you're in Northeast Ohio sometime, or if you are here in the Akron-Cleveland area. We're located right exactly between Akron and Cleveland, right off Interstate 77, right off Interstate 80. In fact, right where they combine or cross, that's where we're at 5171 Brecksville Road, that's State Route 21, and Northern Summit County. We'd love to have you visit if you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible. I'll admit, we're not for everybody. We're a small church. A lot of people like to go to church and be entertained. A lot of people like to go to church because they're looking for programs. We're a small church. We're kind of informal, but we preach the Word of God, and we take a stand on God's Word in our church. And right now, I'm currently preaching through the Book of Romans on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and the Book of Psalms on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. And so that's kind of what we're doing. I like to preach through books and different portions of the Bible. I think it's a way to keep straight with what the Bible has to say. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, located at 4889 Turney Road, and that's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And for pickup or delivery, if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe Garfield Heights is a little too far to travel just for a pizza, but you'd like to learn to make a good pizza to add to your restaurant or to start your own pizza shop, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. Not a franchise, but he'll help you get started, and just let him know you heard about it right here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, let's see, before I knock my cup of water over top of everything and short out things, I better move it. That would not be good. but you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. You can listen to us on online at livewithpastoral.com. You can find past programs there. Follow us on Facebook as well, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And we've got Tom calling in this evening. And Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, hi, Pastor. How you doing?
Hey, good to hear from you, Tom.
Good, yeah. So I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago. So
yes, sir.
I'm one of them late owls, can't sleep at night.
You know? Hey, I get home. I'm not going to go straight to bed when I get home.
Anyway, what you're talking about there, you know, with terrorism and, mm-hmm. with Islam and everything. Well, you know what? It's like, people ought to read their history books if they think this is present day stuff and go back to the Ottoman Empire.
Oh, yeah. And
study the Crusades. I know Christianity gets a black eye for the Crusades, and, you know, not everything was rosy with that either. But let's face it, you know, there was a lot of holy wars going on back then between Christianity and Islamic faith back then.
Yeah, and I realize, of course, that part of the object with the Crusades was to take back the Holy Lands in order to reclaim it. The Catholic Church wanted to reclaim it, but a lot of it was also in reaction to, you know, many, you know, hundreds of years of Islamic excursions into Europe. And yeah. So it was ultimately a defensive series of battles as well,
right,
and
exactly.
Very few.
And here's another point. You know, look at what we had to face following the Revolution. People don't realize the problem we had. Thomas Jefferson, you know, you've heard the Marine song, right? The
right,
Marine
right. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Well, because the Barbary pirates were seizing our ships and imprisoning our sailors and demanding ransom.
In fact, they justified it because Thomas Jefferson and I want to say John Adams, I think it was, were over in Europe at the time as ambassadors.
Right.
And they talked to some of the representatives of the Barbary Coast states. That's North Africa. That would be like where, you know,
right.
Libya, Tripoli,
right, exactly.
Morocco, those countries running around on the north coast of Africa, you know, be the southern side of the Mediterranean Ocean. And they were routinely in the 1700s and the early 1800s, they were still running slave operations where they would take they would sail up off the coast of Europe, even up into the British Isles, and they were capturing people and selling them on the slave markets in North Africa. They were taking Africans from further south than Africa along the African coast. They were capturing them and selling them in the slave markets. In fact, many of those countries did not ban slavery until after the 21st century got started. I think some of them still authorize slavery.
But these problems are deep-seated. They're not only between, you know, the Arab states and the Jews. I mean, this goes back into our history all the way
back. Yeah, I was going to say that when Thomas Jefferson and the other one that was with them, Adams or whoever
Jefferson,
it was.
I don't know exactly when the Marines formed. You know, it came out of the Navy. But we had the Marines by the time the Jefferson presidency.
Right. And what I was going to say
to end the Barbary threat.
Right. What I was going to say when he talked to the representative of the Barbary Coast states, he asked them why they're doing this. And he said, because you're pagans.
Right.
Because the Quran says to. Because it's our right. You're not Muslims. It's our right.
Well, see, that's the delicate thing about it. But, you know, Pastor, there's other religions that aren't Christian that are nonviolent. I mean, you got Buddhists out there, and you got any number of different kinds of ideas out there circulating. And so these people aren't a threat. And, you know, I think in America, we welcome the idea. We would hope that most people would embrace Christianity because we know what the Bible says, that is the true faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
But
we use reason.
I don't have a problem with anybody believing anything or being an atheist or whatever they want to be. I try to witness to people and share my faith, but, you know, I don't have a problem. And like you said, thank God we got a Bible that says, you know, the harshest thing in there that Jesus says, when he told the apostles and he sent them out two by two, he said, if they don't receive you, just kick the dust off your feet. So, you know, we don't advocate any violence or hatred towards people that don't receive our message.
Right.
And so I don't understand how people, you know, can say, you know, there's no appeasement with evil. Let's face it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard somebody earlier today on the radio, I'm not sure who it was, and they were talking about the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Bible, and they said, in the New Testament, God toned it down and revised things because there's a lot of violence in the Old Testament. Well, there is a lot of violence. There are.
But God's given us historical facts.
Right, exactly. And also what people fail to realize is that in many of the cases in the Old Testament, where either the Jewish people were brought into the land, remember they conquered Jericho, and then the other, as they came into the land after wandering in the wilderness, God had passed judgment on the people in the land, and he used Israel as his tool of judgment against them for rejecting him and going after false gods and things. And the same thing happened to Israel, because when Nebuchadnezzar came in, you know, the Babylonians came in, and they attacked the land, remember? They attacked Jerusalem. You can read about it in the book of Jeremiah. And yes, God calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant because he was the tool of judgment against Israel because Israel had gone after false gods. Right. And so we see a lot of that in there, but the Jewish people were never told to indiscriminately go kill people.
No, that's exactly right.
No, the only times that they were, it was because it was an area where God used them as a tool of judgment, which actually happened to them as well.
You know, and wasn't there an instance in the Bible where they were actually sacrificing children? So God is writing the history there. God didn't encourage they do that.
No, and so in the New Testament, of course, now we're not under the law anymore. We're into the age of grace, and God did not revise things. Jesus Christ was the fruition of the Old Testament prophecies, and he fulfilled the law, and he nailed the ordinances of the law to his cross, and now we're dealing with grace. But even in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, you can read in Isaiah, the very first chapter of Isaiah, the Bible says in verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so God does not enforce belief in him by force.
No.
He says reason together. He uses reason. The 19th.
Right. He uses reason, and he also uses warning. And he said, you know,
exactly.
Here's the free gift. If you want to come together and find out about this, well, then you have to believe, right?
Exactly.
But you know, if you turn away, there's consequences for our sins, isn't there? And it's like if you go to the doctor and the doctor says you've got to take this medicine to save your life. And you walk away and you say, you know what, I'm not taking that medicine. And well, if you die, then that's the consequence you
right.
suffer. You refused it.
Well, exactly right, because God gave us free will. And the other thing I was going to add, too, these battles were never to convert people, convert or die type battles.
Right.
And
exactly.
Islam, from its very core in the Quran and in the Hadith, it's convert or die. The sword is used to make converts. That's why they grew so fast.
Well, see, God is the author of liberty, and he respects his own creation and gives us that free will of choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. I think that's what the Bible teaches.
And that's why he says, let us reason together.
Right.
Because there's facts, you know, Psalm 19,
because
the heavens declare
love,
the glory.
It isn't love, Pastor, if it's forced, is it?
Yeah, as I was saying in Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Well, great program. I think you're spot on. I think the only thing we can really do, and it's the most important thing, is we have to pray for these people.
Exactly. And that was what I was trying to get down to at the end of the last half hour, is Muslims are the first victims of Islam, and
right.
they need to be prayed for, and large numbers of them are coming to Christ. I have a friend of mine who, you know, he speaks Arabic and all that, and he comes from an Islamic background,
right.
and he watches some program or some station called Live TV, I think it's called, or Life TV, and it's got some people on there who are former Muslims. And one guy, I guess, that heads it up, he was trained as a Muslim cleric, and now he's also got Christian seminary training of some sort, I guess. And they talk about this, and he debates Muslim imams all the time and has tremendous success in reaching Muslims with the gospel. Yeah. We need prayer.
It's just a very precarious situation because, you know, there are those out there, you know, probably that... Okay, you know, they all read the same Quran, though, do they not?
Well, so far as I know, but
the variations that the terrorists are reading as opposed to the peaceable ones.
Oh, it's not variations. What I was going to get at is there's different translations, because the only real Quran, ultimately, when you get down to it in Islam, is the one that's in Arabic. If you got an English translation, a French translation, a German translation, it's really properly considered a paraphrase. And some of these various English translations, for instance, right over here next to me with some books that I have the Pictol translation of the Quran. Some of them bring out the idea of jihad and the violence more. Some of them try to cover it up and tone it down. But the Arabic is the same in all of them. But yes, it's something we need to pray about.
Yeah, so I think we got to be careful because we can't lump everybody together, you know.
And not every Muslim believes or even reads the Quran.
Right.
Just like not everybody that calls themselves a Christian believes or reads the Bible.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so they don't know what's in their own holy books, just like a lot of so-called Christians don't know what's in their holy book.
And but you know, I think there's a lot of decent ones that they want. They want to practice what they believe, and want to be left alone. I think in America we need to respect that, but we also got to protect our interests too. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look around the world, it's getting pretty scary.
Well,
look
what's happening in England lately.
You know, England kind of threw the gate open for all different kinds of diversity over there, and pretty much, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like. You know, Donald Trump is right, and I think people need to wake up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's not that we're trying to hate people or, you know, keep them out of our country, but we've got to take precautions here.
Right, right. And Tom, got a couple other callers to try to get to yet.
Good talking to you. Good program.
Yeah, thank you very much. And like I said, we need to protect ourselves and also try to reach these people with the gospel because, really, they're the first victims.
That's exactly right. I totally agree.
First victims. So thanks for the call tonight, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Have a good evening. And let's see. I believe we've got Jeannie calling in next. And Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I am doing well tonight. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you. I just wanted to comment that I was really glad that President Trump didn't sign that Paris Global Warming Agreement or whatever it's called.
Right. He pulled us out because President Obama sort of did it as an executive action. It never went to the Senate like a treaty would.
Right. I wanted to say that I think that it shows common sense to not believe in global warming, and that's a product of the left. I believe the left cannot stand to even think that Almighty God controls the weather because they can't stand for Him to control anything in their life. So it plainly tells us in the Bible in Job 37 and 38 of the Old Testament, chapters 37 and 38. That God created the clouds and the thunder and the lightning, the rain, the snow, the cold, and the heat in any degrees that He wishes, and the wind, and He controls all that. And whether or not there is any scientific proof of global warming at all, then if there is, then it is God's almighty hand that is even bringing that upon the earth. So, you know, I just think that, you know, I think people that have common sense realize that there really isn't any global warming. It's just something made up by the left to further,
it's a way to control people, and it's a way to confiscate money and shift it around to other parts of the world,
and
also
God.
Yeah, to put a restraint on the U.S. economy and all of that. It's actually kind of ironic. Since the 1920s, the U.S. summer temperatures have actually been declining, and the frequency of 90-degree days in the summers have been declining. And this is since the 1920s. It's a steady drop. And, the frequency of 95-degree days, I'm looking at a series of graphs here, frequency of 100-degree days has declined. The frequency of 105-degree days have declined.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, it's the summers have been since the 1920s on average. Obviously, when it's an average, it jumps up, it jumps down, it jumps up, it jumps down. But we've been in a generally downward trajectory. I'm not too worried. These are the types of information that back in the 70s led them to say the ice age was coming.
Right.
Only when it didn't happen, they had to switch to something else. But yeah, you're right.
I'm glad President Trump put our country first because there's so many more important things than global warming, which I don't even believe in. So.
Right, right. Well,
I'm going to let you get to your other call.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that call tonight, Jeannie, and I like to point out to people.
Like I said, it's in Job 37 and 38 if
someone
wants to read about the weather that God created.
Oh, yeah, and there's other
control of.
Yeah, there's other parts. We'll look at a couple in Ecclesiastes even that talk about that.
Yeah, I can't think of where something else was. I was looking at where in the world is the other two places? You know,
yeah, let me. In fact, just before I let you go, and I got another caller I want to get to here.
Right.
Let me just flip over here real quick. Quick in Ecclesiastes, we have the description of the wind currents and the water cycle in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 5 through 7.
That has it there.
And there's other places as well. But
right.
Thanks for that call tonight, Jeannie. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. And just point out to our listeners, one good volcano puts out more carbon dioxide and global warming greenhouse gases in one eruption than mankind puts out in his history. That puts things in perspective. The number one global greenhouse gas, I should say, is not carbon dioxide, it's water vapor. That's why when the humidity goes up, a 90-degree temperature with 90% humidity feels much warmer than an 80 or a 100-degree day with 30% humidity. But anyway, I digress. I've got Daryl calling in, and Daryl, we got a few minutes left in the program, so welcome to the program.
Thanks, Pastor Rao.
Thanks.
I'll just simply say this. Concerning global warming.
Yes, sir.
We need to all remember as Christians that we are stewards.
Exactly. And we were given dominion, and it didn't mean take advantage of, it meant to care for.
Right. Everything here, we are stewards. We don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to take care of it. And because when we die, we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for whatever it is that we do, word or deed. We're going to have to do that. And the other thing that you were talking about what's going on in the world, I would encourage all of us as Christians to read the scriptures about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against
exactly
the darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's exactly right. I'm thank you.
The whole armor of God.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
Callers, I'll get off your air, but I just wanted to fascinating program tonight. God bless you. We'll call in again.
All right. Thank you, Daryl, and God bless. I appreciate you pointing that out because it is a spiritual battle. And what we were talking about terrorism, what we were talking about Islam and things of that nature, I was talking about earlier about the pushing of God out of public education, out of the public square in general. All of these are symptoms of what Daryl brought up. It's the spiritual battle that we're in, and it's our responsibility, the Bible says, to stand. And we stand not in our own strength, but we stand in the strength of the Lord, and we look to him to defend us. But we need to be aware that when we see these things happening, when we see these attacks, when we see what looks like overwhelming things in the world, these are symptoms of the spiritual battle that we're involved in, the spiritual battle that's raging around us. And we have to know that ultimately God wins in the end. And, you know, if you've read your Bible, you've read the last part of the book, you know, it's like reading a mystery. You read the last chapter, you know who wins in the end or who survives, you know. Well, we read the end of the Bible and we know that God concludes everything at the end and he accomplishes his purpose in the end. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through difficulties. It doesn't mean there's not going to be trials and challenges. But the fact of the matter is, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in him that we have our peace, it's in him that we have salvation, and it's in him that we have the hope of eternal life. And he's the one that defeats the devil, ultimately, not us. But we're in this battle. We're called to be faithful, and it starts with putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And when you've done that, you're enlisted into God's army. You have the Holy Spirit in you at the moment of salvation, and you have God on your side. You have a very powerful enemy, but you have a much more powerful defender in our Heavenly Father, the God of the Bible. So I encourage you, put God first, read his word. It'll help you. I like what it says, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. God's given us a lot in there to guide us and to help us, and we try to help you with a biblical worldview listening to the program. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week this week. God bless, and join us again next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.